Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Memorial Day weekend. What an incredible weekend for those that are out there camping and listening in today. We are glad you're listening, and hopefully you're not beating off raindrops as you're sitting inside your camper looking outside, or maybe you're traveling down the highway today and you have tuned us in. We have an exciting morning as we deal with What's Your Poison series. But before we jump into that, just a few things I want to just touch base on. We send out devotionals 6 days a week on vitalministries.org for both men and women. You can go onto that webpage and just check it out. You can get a word of affirmation, a word of just encouragement from the Lord and Himself as we, these different writers, as they speak and write out the things that deal with the things that they deal with in their own life. And just a great opportunity to get plugged in with that. So just to encourage you to join us with that. And also, too, the Vital Ministries webpage keeps you up to date with all the different things that are going on, the events and special things that go on. So you don't want to miss out on that. So again, check us out at vitalministries.org. But today we're continuing our teaching series on What's Your Poison? A study on addictions that can literally take over our minds and our bodies to the point that we are consumed by them. We have a bent towards addictions in our lives at times, but it's only when we keep our eyes and our hearts and our hearts focused on one thing, and that's keeping Jesus first and in the forefront. Last week, we went into great detail in discussing alcohol addiction and the abuse of alcohol, learning that both the spiritual and the mental need to work together in order to overcome this incredible addiction. We talked about how over 15 million adults in the age of 18 years or older have an alcohol disorder. Alcohol is the third leading cause of death each year in America. It's amazing stats. But reading these stats, it helps us to see that addictions is hitting America in great numbers. Today, we're going to look at another leading addiction, and that is drugs. According to statistics, we see that over 21 million Americans 12 years and older have a substance abuse problem. Marijuana usage is over 22 million in America and is rising, especially when it has been to the place of where it's been legal in different states. Also, too, prescription painkillers is on the rise. Over 2 million Americans are addicted to painkillers, and that is an overwhelming amount that has continued to rise as well. But today, we're going to talk about the addictions and the rise. But today, I have a good friend of mine that is going to be with us today. Robbie Robinson with Discover Hope in Newton, Iowa, is here with us today. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning, brother. How you doing?
Oh, it's awesome. It is great to have you with us this morning. I want you to tell people a little bit about yourself this morning, about your family, where you live, and about your ministry and starting Discover Hope.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. So again, I'm Robbie Robinson, and so I live in Newton, Iowa. I am a executive director and founder of Discover Hope 517 Ministry, which is a recovery community organization. I'm married to Emily Robinson, my beautiful wife. We've been married now 9 years. I love her to death. And we have 6 kids in all. So, yeah, I have an older son, Raquez, who would have been 21, Diamond, who's 19, Penelope, who's 12, Eli, who's 7, Isaiah, who will actually be 6 tomorrow morning, and then baby Maya, who is 1. So just a blessed family. So yeah, and get to enjoy them. And so yeah, so it's been a great opportunity to be able to serve within Discover Hope and see what God has continued to do as He has established a ministry that is faith-based, that specifically deal with individuals that's coming out of some form of an addiction,
right,
to create this atmosphere and this platform, this place where they could come in and begin to see Jesus as a part of their life and of their transition, as I've learned in my own of recovery. I've been in my recovery for 19 years and fighting addiction for a very long time, and just being able to now give back to people the way I've been healed and to become who God has called me to be and predestined me to be.
Yeah. That's awesome. I love that. Robbie, you have an incredible story, and it is amazing. And I want you to share with us this morning about the difficult days, the dark days, yeah, that came from your life that,
right,
created brightness, and how the Holy Spirit helped you to overcome, be an overcomer. But the struggle, because a lot of people are in the struggle,
mm-hmm,
and they lose hope in it.
They do, yes.
And I want you to share a little bit about that, how you overcame that desperate point in your life as you dealt with addictions.
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing for me is, you know, growing up culturally and being in a family of addiction, right? And then that generational curse, as you would say. And just being brought up in that, that's all I see my whole life. And so, and a lot of time I always thought my addiction was just these behaviors that I was doing. But really what happened is as I begin to receive my healing, I learned that my addiction stemmed from a deeper issue. And that was a sin issue. And that sin issue was caused by wounds that took place in my life. So, man, when I was 8 years old, I would tell people all the time, my whole addiction started when I was 8 years old, and I found my dad's sock drawer, and in that sock drawer was a ton of pornography. Then I got addicted to pornography, and that pornography addiction caused this massive shame in my life. My perspective was changed at 8 years old, and that caused a lot of more behavioral issues, which led to a lot of the mental abuse, the sexual abuse, the physical abuse. My mom was a severe alcoholic who just used to beat me all the time. I don't know who my real father is, and the man that was present, that was my dad, you know, I never even heard him ever tell me he loved me. So I had this deep wounds that was going on within my life. And the only way I knew how to deal with those wounds was by absenting my mind from it. So, that caused me smoking marijuana. So smoking weed at a very young age, drinking. And so then that led to many other different drugs, many other different behaviors would led me to in and out of juvenile facilities and detention center, and then eventually to prison. And then my first time in prison for assault with a weapon from gang banging and just living that kind of cultural dysfunctional lifestyle, and not knowing how to be different because I wasn't seeing anything else around me either. And so that was another thing. I never had anyone pouring into me or influencing me in a positive way. So all I knew how to do was live this specific way, which led me to creating these behaviors that really allowed me not to deal with what was truly going on inside of me, what was causing the addiction issues from the beginning, from the start. And I ended up in prison my first time at 19. I did a year in prison. I got out of prison. I was out of prison 9 months, went back to prison facing 72 years. And I ended up doing 5 years off that. And so, but while I was in prison, I had this encounter where I went into this program called Interchange Freedom Initiative. It was a Christian-based program, which is now is known as PF Academy. And that was the beginning of the first time I ever heard someone genuinely believe in me. And so they brought in the gospel and they told me that this guy named Jesus loved me regardless of what I've ever been through in my whole entire life. And that sparked something in me. It began to give me a new and a different perspective, but also it's created this hope that I never had before. And so that transition began when those volunteers that were coming to the prison began to pour into me, begin to believe into me, begin to teach me that I am lovable and I do have worth. And so that introduced me to this intriguing interesting in the Bible. So then I began to get into the word. And I think the first, so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 became my life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Amen.
Lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. Because that allowed me to let me know that I didn't have any control, but God did. I can release it and surrender it all to him, and God will begin this process. And then I had to begin to learn how to build a healthy relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so that's really that prominent thing that I've learned in my journey, is that it's a deeper issue that we have to deal with. I always tell people in treatment, I would say addiction, Robbie's definition of addiction is it is the outward or external appearance or behaviors that covers up a deeper rooted issue. So I tip you all the time, if we allow God to deal with the sin in our heart, the wounds in our heart, to begin to heal our heart, it cures us from the addiction. It kills
it. That's what so many people get mixed up in, because they keep wanting to take this addiction and they keep going deeper and deeper and deeper, trying to fill a hole that will never be filled. And only through Jesus Christ. And it's so hard, because when somebody's in the middle of that addiction, like last week we had Ryan McDonald with us, and he said the addiction was the last thing he could truly hold on to. And if he let go of that addiction, in his mind, that was the last portion of control of what he thought he had left in his life.
And that's what Jesus does. Jesus fills that and gives you a purpose, He teaches us that who we really were created to be. You know, even back in Genesis when he created mankind, he said, this is good. Like he created us to be good and with a purpose and potential. And I think that's what happens in addiction, is that already when you are in addiction, you lose hope. you believe no one believes in you anymore.
Right.
And you get into that defeated mindset, and that is the lie from the devil. Mm-hmm. That's the lie from the enemy that we latch onto, and we become in bondage to that lie.
Right.
And so how you kill that lie, you have to shed truth onto that lie.
Sure.
And so, and then when you shed truth onto lie, then God begins to change your perspective. I love it. I always teach out of Romans 12:2. Do not copy the custom behavior of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yes.
God has to renew your mindset. He has to change your perspective, because that's where the battle begins.
Right.
It's, you know, they said idle minds is the devil's playground, right? It's
right.
That's where the battle begins, in your mind. And God has to change that. And how he changed that is by giving you truth of his word, light of his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals this truth to you. You know, and so this encounter with Jesus has to take place. The spirituality is so important in an individual who are struggling with some form of an addiction. You have to understand that you got to serve something greater than yourself. And the power of the Holy Spirit begins this process of renewing your mindset, so you then will know what God's will is for your life, right? Changes your heart so you can respond differently. I believe that truly, yes.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the leading into that, Robbie, is it comes with a portion of scripture that comes out of Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. I just love this portion of scripture, and just give me a brief moment. I was in the wrong spot. But as I'm finding that this morning, Robbie, tell us a little bit about, because you talked about being part of a gang world.
Uh-huh.
What draws people, especially because you have this full, what draws people to want to enter into that place in their lives, to where this community?
Yes.
Even though it's false, but it's a community, right?
Right. So yeah, we was created already to be connected to people, right? God gave Adam Eve. He said, man should not be alone. Let me create this woman, right? And so we long for that. We long to be connected to other people. We long to be connected to this family of people that give us this, it's like this inner insecurity about ourselves or who we are, who we can connect to, who we can love, who we can be a part of. Family, right? It's all about family. And so, and that's a part of what gang filled a void that I wasn't receiving inside my household. Like my mom and my dad, I wasn't getting the love, I wasn't getting the attention, I wasn't getting the care. And so when I was in the gang, I felt accepted.
Right.
I felt like I belonged to something. I kind of felt my identity became into that. I had worth into that. Even though it was poor and it was bad and it was unhealthy and influenced me in the wrong way, but I felt like that was me. That was who I was. And that's what God had to replace when I became a believer too, because a lot of times we think we have to do it on our own.
Right.
We think it's all about us. We can do this, especially men. We just feel like, I got this.
Right.
You know, I can't let nobody really know my hurt, know my wounds. But reality is, we have to get to a place where we allow someone else to come into our lives, to begin to input into us and influence us, so we can begin this true process of transformation.
Right.
And so it is so important. I thought both ways, even when I lived in my old lifestyle,
right,
that I needed this gang, this body of believers, this body of people. And now as a believer in Jesus, I realized, like, I need the church. I need my brothers and sisters in Christ. I need this community, this family. And that's what we do at Discover Hope. And we build a community center where people can come into, and it's a family atmosphere where we meet them where they're at, and we create this family of people around them, so they can have hope.
Authentic community.
Yes, authentic community. Genuine love.
Genuine love.
Yes. Yep.
You know, it's interesting in the Bible, Robbie, you really don't find out, you don't see anything that speaks directly against drugs.
Right.
But we do see things about, because drugs is breaking the law. And this is interesting. At Romans chapter 13, 1-5, it says this. It says that everyone must submit to government authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. For the authorities do not strike fear into people who are doing right, but in those who are doing wrong. I love that.
Right,
isn't that good?
Yep.
Would you like to live without fear of the authorities? Do what is right, and they will honor you.
Right?
The authorities are good servants sent for your good, but if you are doing wrong, of course you should be afraid, for they have the power to punish you. They are God's servants sent for the very purpose to punishing those who do what is wrong. So you must submit to them, not to avoid punishment, but to keep a clear conscience.
Right.
In that, I just think that's so good, because that speaks into Scripture that, yes, buying drugs, buying the things that's in our society today and do it in an abusive manner is against the law.
Yes.
And very much so in this Romans chapter 13 speaks into that.
Right.
And so much in I think as we do things wrong, we all of a sudden now, especially in addictions, whether it's drugs, alcohol, or whatever it might be, now we push against people who are put in authority over us right. If we break the law.
That's right. That's so true. And so a lot of time what we get to do at Discover Hope is we create that type of atmosphere because most people come in with that mindset.
Right.
You know, they living in that illegal lifestyle and drugs, and they're breaking their law, they're stealing, they're robbing people. And so what happens then when you come in, you start teaching them truth, and they begin to see that, hey, I don't actually need to do none of those things. If right. I actually begin to allow God to change who I am, to become this new creation in Christ Jesus, right, so I can put away my old life, my old self, my old things,
yes.
and begin to live into this new life of Christ, and then I begin to adopt new things, right, then they learn. But then you get to teach them how to work, how to pay the bill, how to budget their money, how yes. to take care of their family, so they're not out there breaking the law,
right,
stealing. So that's what God did me. He transformed my life. Now I have police officers as friends.
Well, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, when you, it in is. The very beginning to Discover Hope, you're tell us a little bit about yeah. that. This is an amazing story.
Yeah. So even the beginning of planning Discover Hope, me and Aaron Gross, who was a lieutenant sheriff in Newton, and you know, we came together and we was in a leadership class together, and God just brought us together, and He brought this criminal prison guy, and then you got Aaron Gross, who is law enforcement, you lieutenant sheriff.
Two
opposite cultures coming together too. Aaron being a white guy, me being a black guy, God just bringing us completely together.
Yeah.
And to build a ministry that's going to say, hey, we want to break down the lie
right.
of the world,
yes.
and begin give you biblical truth so you can become who God has called you to be. So not only did He bring us together and break down walls in our own lives that we can actually become brothers in Christ,
right.
but then we was able to make a difference in other people's lives
yes.
as well, to break down the stigmas and the lies on law enforcement standpoint as well as the world standpoint.
Yes.
So the people that's out there living in that culture of addiction don't have to buck up against and stiff arm law enforcement, but to realize that law enforcement is really there to help.
Yes.
Right? They're really yes. there to help. See, they judge them because of their behaviors and issue, but once that stuff changes, they right. begin to see that they are all human and they are people and that they do have lives and they need help.
Absolutely.
And so Discover Hope gets to bring all that into one.
Yes.
Right? And then we get to teach them that they can actually live this different and new life, and
yes.
then they can become family.
Right.
We become family. And so, yeah, it's an amazing opportunity, amazing transition.
Robbie, I want to ask you this question this morning. What's happening with that person who will go for a while, may even come to know Christ,
mm-hmm.
but they fall back into drug addiction? What is going inside of them that creates the enticement to they're seeing the things change, but then there's this falling back.
Right.
So what do we do with that the person that falls back? How do we handle that for those that are trying to help that person? What would you say to that person who's trying to help someone like that?
Right. I just did a teaching last Tuesday about being stuck. How we get stuck in a pattern of our sin. We get
right.
stuck in that same lifestyle.
Yes.
And the issue is when a person is coming out of an addiction, right? They say, I want to get in recovery. I want to be different. I want to be new. And you begin this process. The most important thing is building a good support system around them,
right.
a good support team, good mentors, navigators, people that can influence them in a healthy way, but also people that can help them when they go back to the struggle. Because a lot of times, as we're allowing God to deal with our hurts and our wounds, we still have to deal with the world crisis, world responsibility, taking care of our families, paying our bills, everyday life, our bosses at our work, you know? So we got to
right.
deal with all those things still.
Yes.
And how do we deal with those things in a healthy way? But a lot of time also, we get mm-hmm. stuck in that same mindset that we have to allow God to truly give us healing in the areas that are continue to cause the weaknesses in us.
Right.
And how we receive that healing is through ministering to other people, serving other people. We receive that healing through the word of God, allowing people to influence us and pour into us. And then a lot of time when we feel like, oh man, I just want to go back. Oh, I just want to give up. It's hard right now. I'm in a season of just toughness. We have to reach out. We have to allow other people to be a part of that walk with
right.
us. We can't do it by ourselves.
Right.
And so a lot of time when people start out really well, then they go back.
Yes.
It's because they're trying to do it themselves. It's always that process. I always tell people all the time, I said, don't allow your blessings to become your curse. They're like, what do you mean by I say it? Because what happened right. was you start doing good. So you get a job, you get a place, your family's been restored.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you forget to allow Jesus to continue to be a part of that.
Right.
You put Him on the shelf because you think now you can do it. You can't do it.
Right.
You have to continue your daily rhythm
so
with
good,
Christ,
right. yes.
your devotion, your church family, getting to church, Bible studies, men groups, women groups, to keep you focused. focus to be able to deal with those. Otherwise, we continue to allow those same old patterns to creep back in, and the devil gets us stuck in it.
Yes.
And it's little at a time, but it begins to destroy us.
Yes.
So yeah, I just tell people who are getting stuck and want to go back, hey, stay focused, stay encouraged, use your support system.
Well, there's a great verse that comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. It says, mm-hmm, this: don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Who lives in you and was given to you by God himself. You do not belong to yourself
anymore, right,
for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. And that's what's so important. Just what you spoke about this morning.
Right.
About not allowing to go as we fall back, but also to we help those get the help them get back up.
Right, you help them get back up. That's right. You continue to pour them. You walk,
yes,
with them. And I think that's the most prominent thing about Discover Hope, is that we have our Fresh Start program. It's a year long. It's that we create a program that we walk with people. We disciple them, right?
Yes.
We take what we have received and we give that back. And so we disciple them. We create an encounter with the Lord by bringing them in. We love on them. We meet them where they're at. We create hope. And then when they make that decision, say, I want to be with Jesus and I want to live this new life, we walk with them through that. We be there. When they fall, we pick them up. We don't judge them. We encourage them, we build them up. And so that's what people need. People need people that believe in them again.
You know, one thing that I saw on your webpage, and it's discoverhope517.org.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yep. Yep.
Well, one of the things I noticed was your vision statement, Robin. It says, anyone is welcome.
Mm-hmm.
How do you create that anyone is welcome who's dealing with an addiction, not just drugs, but in alcohol and the various addictions?
Yes.
How do you create a safe place for that struggling person who is dealing with addictions?
Yeah, you keep your door open. You said, we just want to meet you where you at.
Right.
I have a saying at Discover Hope says, what's next?
Yes.
So we don't focus on what they've been going through, what they did. They know that. The devil,
right,
knows it. They knows it. We've been there, so we know it. We,
yes,
talk about what's next. What are we going to do going forward? So it gives people a heart to know, like, I'm not going to be judged, and I'm going to come into a place where I see people that's just like me.
Right.
Right? And then what happens then, they begin to see people who has hope established in them. So now they have hope. They're like, oh, I can do this. So it's really just saying, hey, you know what? Same thing we ask for our churches. Just keep our doors open and say, we just want to welcome people in. We're going to love on people continuously. We're going to create an atmosphere they can be a part of. And then we're going to walk with them.
Right.
And so, and that's what they need. They need to see. It's like, right, as believers, we are Christ followers. Right. So we are this incarnation of who God is. That's what God did with Jesus. Jesus came to be this visual for people. And so we have to be the visual of the gospel, because the gospel is in us. It transforms us. This is a new life. So we have to show people that, hey, man, this is real.
Right.
Jesus does heal and restore. I always tell people there's three things that has to happen when you become a believer. First, you have to have an encounter with the Lord. Redemption, right?
Right.
You have to be redeemed.
Yes.
And when you begin to redeem, God has to begin this healing process in you.
Yes.
So he begins to heal you. And through that healing, he restores you.
Yes.
He restores, so you become, yes, a new person.
Right.
And then we get to walk into that new life, and God begins to establish those things. And so what happens is we had to create an atmosphere where people are welcome into that.
Right.
Prejudged. There's no judgment. We have,
right,
to love them as they are.
Right where they are.
Right where they are.
It goes right along with what I call your trademark verse, which comes out of 2 Corinthians,
yes,
5:17. I love,
yes,
it. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person,
right,
a new creation. The old is gone and a new life has begun. And I think that's just essential for us as Jesus met people first where they were.
Yes.
And then from listening and helping them discover hope, discover a new way of life,
right,
came new life.
Yes.
And that's what I love so much about this. But I got another question for you, Rob. This is as we're closing up today. How does a person who is struggling with drug addiction get to this place of truly becoming a new creation, but even more so, believing it?
Yeah, I think a person has to be coming that place, not only where they begin to have this encounter and see it happen, and as they get connected, we have to create an atmosphere for that to take place.
Right.
And so as people begin to walk into that life, walk into that new life, encouraging them, praising with them, celebrating with them, crying with them, weeping with them, picking them up, walking right alongside of them. And I think that's what we need as believers. We need people to continue. I have five mentors, men that constantly are pouring into me,
right,
constantly holding me accountable. Accountable, right?
Right.
And so we need that. We need,
right,
to be influenced by healthy, biblical people so we can come back to this biblical principle, how to live our lives. Amen. And God began to teach us those things. And so I think that's so important as people continue their journey of long-term recovery, which is healing.
Then you actually become
mm-hmm. the new creation that God has called. I remember my mentor told me one time, he said, Robbie, you need to murder the old person and bury him right. and walk away.
Yes.
Because it's not who you are anymore. So you can stay focused on who God has called you to be. And how you learn who God's called you to be is through his word.
Yes.
The deeper your relationship goes with Jesus, the more your identity becomes like him.
Right. I believe that this morning, Rob, we've got people that are out there listening that's dealing with a drug addiction, or maybe it's a family member or a friend that has someone who's dealing with it.
Right.
What are those next steps is for that person who's dealing with this battle of drug addiction? Where do they go for help?
Right. So, of course, you know, I always call Discover Hope 517 Ministry. Right. We're located in Newton, Iowa. And so it's a great organization. You can call us. You can look at our Facebook page.
Which, again, is?
Discover Hope 517 Ministry. And also our website at discoverhope517.org. Check us out. Just to reiterate, reach out. If you call us, we can definitely get you resourced and get you connected to other areas, depending on what the individual is dealing with. You're more than welcome to come and be a part of us and our support services. But also, I'm going to say, just reach out. Right. Reach out to your church family. Reach out to your pastor. Reach out to the different treatment facilities out there. Just get into something. But I'm gonna take get started. Yeah,
get
your hands wet. But I will always encourage you, man. I truly believe the only cure to addiction is the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Right.
Because it creates substance.
Yes.
In us, it creates purpose and hope in us that we can truly become who we was created to be from the beginning.
Amen.
And I think that's the truth and the blessing of being a part of Discover Hope is we get to model that and we get to live that out through the word of God.
Right.
And we're going to encourage people to get plugged in. Do not be ashamed anymore.
Right.
There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Do not be ashamed. Step out. It's okay. Ask for help. There are people there that wants to help you, wants to be a part of your journey.
Absolutely. And also, too, Rob, just in closing this morning, I know that you're a faith-based organization, which means that you, in order to keep going, you need donations.
I need donations.
You need help.
Yeah,
And you can go to discoverhope517.org.
Yes.
And you can donate.
Right on our webpage.
Right on the webpage, right?
Yes.
And folks, we need more faith-based organizations. And I know that's one of your visions and your dreams.
It is.
As you're birthing to go to other communities. And the only way you can do this, Robbie, from what I'm sitting here this morning, is that it's going to take a source of monies that need to come in order to go to these other communities to help Discover Hope.
Correct.
So those that are dealing with addictions.
Yep. Help us continue to grow. Yes, we are 501c3. We're tax exempt. So, man, So just we want to be a blessing as we get blessed. And so, I always tell people three ways. Pray. Pray for what God is doing to break the bondage of addiction in people's lives.
Yes.
That they will be redeemed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray. Come and see. Come and see what God is doing. Come and be a part of what God is doing. And then also partner with us financially, volunteer, and through prayer. And we appreciate that. Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're virtually out of time. Let's pray quick this morning, and then we will close it up. Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity of how you're raising incredible men like Robbie Robinson in Newton, Iowa, and how the extension of the gospel to help people with addictions will grow outside of South Central Iowa, and how it can be a place where people discover hope in you. Lord, I just prayed this morning that maybe somebody that's listening needs that help. I pray that they take those next steps to find you in an incredible way to be their Savior. In your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Robbie, thanks again for being with us this morning. I am Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.